Prayer is one of the great privileges of the Christian life, isn't it? And folks, you would think that prayer would come naturally to the child of God, wouldn't you? We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We've been made children of the living God. God is our Father. He cares for us. He loves us. He protects us. He gives us so many things. And you would think that every one of us would just be eager to enter into the presence of God and to talk with Him. And the reality is that prayer is a skill that has to be learned. Prayer is a skill that is taught by one individual to another individual. In fact, on one occasion, the disciples came to Jesus in Luke 11, verse 1, and this is what they said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray." You see, prayer is a skill that has to be taught. With every skill, there is a beginning point. There is a starting point. And I believe that there's a starting point when it comes to prayer. And tonight we're going to talk about that starting point. I've entitled the lesson, "The Definitions of Prayer." When you and I learn what prayer really is, when we learn several of its definitions, hopefully what that will do will encourage us to pray. We may not know exactly how, we may not know all of the elements, we may not know everything that we need to know about prayer, but knowing the definition of prayer will at least encourage us to pray more than we pray. So we're going to be talking about some of the definitions of prayer. And all of these originate from the little mind of me, but they have originated out of study over a long period of time too. So let's talk about some of the definitions of prayer. Number one, prayer is a step into heaven. When you and I bow our heads, we usually begin with these words, "Our Father." And my question is this, this individual that we're talking to, where does he live? And the Bible tells us where God lives, doesn't He? God lives in heaven. The Bible says, "And the Lord from heaven looketh down upon the earth." Psalm 102, verse 19. Folks, the very moment that you and I begin our prayers, the very moment we open our mouths, we literally depart from this world, at least our voice does, and enters into God's throne room in heaven. It's amazing, isn't it? No longer is my voice just right here upon the earth, but now my voice is in the very presence of God who dwells in heaven. In fact, when Jesus was teaching us to pray, in Matthew 6, verse 9, He said what? "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art where? In heaven." He reminds us that our voices are entering into heaven itself. Can you imagine being invited to the palace of a monarch? An earthly king desires to see you. You walk up to his palace, you walk up the steps, you enter in through the doors, and someone meets you there, and he says, "If you'll just go about 100 feet down this corridor, you're going to come on your right to two massive doors. I want you to push those doors open, and I want you to walk inside, and you'll be in the very throne room of the monarch." Wow. We walk down, our hearts are beating, we come to those massive doors. They're huge. We have to use a lot of pressure to press through. And we open them up, and there is a grand white throne. And there the king sits in all of his royal attire, with his ear bent, just to listen to us. That's just an earthly monarch. My friends, we're not talking about an earthly king. We are talking about the governor of the universe. We are talking about the King of Kings. We are talking about the Lord of Lords. We are talking about the God of Gods. We are talking about a being who is higher than all other beings, and He has invited us into His presence. We can walk those steps and we can push open those doors and immediately be into the throne room of the Almighty God. Prayer is a step into heaven. What a beautiful thought, isn't it? But notice point number two. Prayer is the privilege of talking to God. If I were ever asked, what is the definition of prayer? My most simple definition is simply this: speaking to God. And that's exactly what it is. In Psalm 77 and verse 1, the psalmist said this: I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He heard me with His ear. Jesus, as He hung there upon the cross, the Bible says this, and He cried out with a loud voice and said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. The key word is voice. You see, prayer is very simply you and me talking to God. It's a one-sided conversation, isn't it? It's just us having the opportunity to say whatever we desire unto the Heavenly Father. It's my ability and your ability to go to God and communicate anything that we so desire in His presence. Prayer. Speaking unto God. Folks, the sound of my voice isn't important. It doesn't matter whether it's a little child or whether it's an old man, God hears. It doesn't matter whether my voice is raspy or whether I go to God with the most statesman-like words, God hears. It doesn't matter whether it's a male or whether it's a female, God hears. It doesn't matter whether it's good English or bad English. Aren't we glad? God hears. It doesn't matter even if it's English. It can be any language upon the face of the earth. God hears. You see, the important thing is that we speak to God. And my friends, even the most silent whisper of the heart can be heard by the ear of God. I want you to focus in on another word, though. Notice the word privilege. Prayer is the privilege of speaking to God by the child of God. The Bible tells us that all spiritual blessings are located in one place. And that one place is in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3. I find it interesting. When I go to individuals and I ask them this question, they always say yes. And the answer is simply this, or the question is simply this: is prayer a spiritual blessing? And everybody says yes. If it is, then guess where it is? It's in Christ. We can go to another passage, Proverbs 15, verse 8. The Bible says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination, but the prayers of the upright are His delight. My friends, when you and I bow our heads in prayer, we are taking a privilege that God has given us, a benefit that we have received, a gift that God has given, and we are making use of that gift that others do not have. Prayer is a privilege given to the child of God. Point number three, when you and I go to God, we always do so with a purpose, don't we? It's not a matter of just crying out God's name. We go to God because we have a reason for being there, and there are at least three reasons why we go to God in prayer. Therefore, prayer is praise, it is thanksgiving, and it is requests, isn't it? You see, you and I can bow our heads and we can go to God simply in praise. We can praise Him for who He is. We can praise Him for what He has done in our lives. The psalmist did in Psalm 63 and verse 6. With my mouth I will praise Thee with joyful lips, he says. My friends, you and I don't have to go to God and ask Him for anything. Isn't that amazing? Because you see, that's how we often go to God, isn't it? We go because we want something from Him. We need something, but we don't have to go to God like that. You can bow your head and you can just simply praise Him for who He is. And that's a wonderful thought, isn't it? But notice secondly, prayer is also a place wherein you and I can go to give thanks unto God. We are a blessed people. If you doubt that, you should have been here and looked at the table of food that was spread for us this afternoon. Folks, we're blessed. Food was left over, wasn't it? There are places where individuals are starving. There are places where individuals wondering, where are we going to get our next meal? Are we even going to have a next meal? And there we are. We have bountiful amounts of food. And look at us, how we're dressed and what we came to this building in. Beautiful cars, luxury automobiles that some don't have. We're blessed beyond measure. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Prayer is the opportunity to give thanks. But also, prayer is that time where we go to God and we make our request of Him. Isn't that what Paul encouraged us to do in Philippians 4 verse 6? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayers and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. There is absolutely nothing that you and I cannot go to God with. Anything, folks. God wants us to make requests. He desires for us to make requests. Let me ask you this. When Jesus went to God in prayer, did He ever ask for anything? Go study the prayers of Jesus and watch how He asks things of God. Let this cup pass from me. Folks, that's a request, is it not? You see, even our Savior did not hesitate to make a request of the Heavenly Father. So what is prayer? It is praise. It is thanksgiving. And it is the making of requests unto God. Our next point is this. Prayer is a struggle with God. A struggle with God. When you study prayer, you need to understand that there are some elements to acceptable prayer. One of those is faith. James says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. When you and I go to God, it must be in full, complete confidence, trust, and faith in God and His promises and what He can and will do for us. So there's faith. The Bible also tells us to come with boldness. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We've got to come with confidence. We've got to come with courage and boldly make our requests of God. But also, we've got to come with the Lord's will. If any man ask anything according to His will, we know that He heareth us. 1 John 5 and verse 14. Folks, it's right in those three things that we struggle with God, don't we? How many times do we bow our heads in prayer and we know we're supposed to come with faith, and yet when we ask the things that we desire, we do so with doubts in our minds, even as we express the words. We're struggling with that thing. Sometimes we don't come with boldness. We don't come with confidence. We don't come really believing that God is going to do what we desire, and we don't just boldly ask for what we want. Abraham did, didn't he? 50 righteous souls, 45 souls, 40, 30, 20, 10. He was bold in his proclamations, wasn't he? Sometimes we struggle with our will versus God's will, don't we? This is what I want, but I don't know that God really wants this for me. And yet, there we are in prayer asking for something that may be out of harmony with the will of God. Folks, there is a struggle in prayer. And as we go to God in prayer, we have to be like Jacob. In Genesis chapter 32, old Jacob wrestled with an angel, the Bible says, all night long. Little did he know that he was wrestling with God, wasn't he? The Bible says that he wrestled with an angel until the break of day. As the dawn was about to begin, the angel looks at Jacob and he says this, let me go. Do you remember what Jacob said? I will not let thee go until thou bless me. He was going to hold on to God. He was going to wrestle with God. He was going to be there with God until God gave him the blessing that he so desired. Jacob's name was changed that night, and it became Israel. You know what that word means? One who prevails with God. That's amazing, isn't it, folks? To think that God has given little me the ability to wrestle with Him in prayer and prevail through that avenue of prayer. God says, yes, I will give you the desires of your heart. It's amazing. So prayer is a struggle. It's wrestling. It's holding on to God until such time that God gives you exactly what you desire of Him. A struggle with God. Notice this next one. Prayer is a release, isn't it? Every one of us, at some point in our lives, have struggled, haven't we? We've gone through the difficulties. We've gone through the storms. We've gone through the trials. We've gone through the hardships. We've labored, we've toiled, we've stayed up all night, we've cried, we've faced all the travail of agony, of disappointment. And folks, when we are in those times, here's what God says. God says, I know you're carrying a heavy burden. I know that it's tough for you to bear. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to come and I want you to dump it all on me. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's not easy to do, is it? And yet, we find many individuals, you see, right here is the meat where I could take up another 5 or 10 minutes talking about all the people who took their burdens to the Almighty God. We have individuals like Hannah who desired a child. Where did she go with that burden? To God. David, when his child was about to die, what was he doing? He was in fasting and prayer unto God. It may be that the Lord will spare that child as long as he is alive. You see, he was pouring out his heart unto God, a burden that was upon him. We see Nehemiah, if you'll read through the book, almost every chapter, Nehemiah is down on his knees praying unto God as those walls were being built. And Jesus, in those deep hours just prior to the cross of Calvary, was praying, was he not? Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Wow. Folks, here's something we need to remember. There is no burden that we bear that is bigger than our God. None. There is nothing you can fabricate. There's nothing you can imagine. There is nothing that you can tell me that you've gone through that is bigger than our God. In fact, you can take the biggest problems, the biggest difficulties of every Christian, and guess what? The totality of them are not bigger than our God. Every one of them can be laid upon Him, and He can take care of any difficulty and any struggle. Wow. Prayer is a release of burdens. Point number 6. Prayer is a place of blessings. Notice that I have there a treasure chest, because that's what it really is, folks. Prayer is a place where you and I can go that is just a treasure chest of blessings that you and I can receive. It would be fun just to sit in a class and to introduce this subject and say, now guys, tell me some of the blessings that you have received from prayer. I've just listed 4. How about this one? One of them is strength, is it not? Sometimes it's physical strength. Sometimes it's mental stamina. Sometimes it's that spiritual strength that we need to have. Oh, God can't give strength. Oh, yes, He can give strength. Remember old Samson? His eyes had been gouged out. He'd been taken into the temple of Dagon. There he was standing with his hands between those two columns. And what did the Bible say he did? The Bible said that he prayed for strength from God to tear down that temple. And that is exactly what he received that day. My friends, prayer brings strength, but notice also it brings assurance, does it not? There Stephen was preaching the gospel of Christ. Individuals angry with him, take him outside the city, begin to stone him, and the Bible says that he began to call upon God. As he did, immediately the heavens were opened unto him, and he sees Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Why was that vision given? To strengthen him and to assure him in his hour of trial. And as he died, he prays that that sin not be laid to their charge. And he committed his spirit unto the Almighty God, assured that Jesus saw exactly what he was going through. Assurance is found in prayer. What about this one? How about peace? David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And then he says this, I laid me down and slept and I awaked. That's peace. If you look at the first part of that psalm, David was surrounded by his enemies. David was concerned about his enemies. And so what did he do? He says that he prayed unto the Lord. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And what does he do? He says, then I slept. That's peace, isn't it? My enemies are coming. The evil ones surround me. And all I have to do is pray. And then I can lay down and sleep. You see, there's peace in prayer. What about this? What about hope in prayer? Absolutely. There's hope in prayer. Here Hannah was. She had no son, no child. Peninnah was constantly giving her all this grief and all this difficulty. And what does she do? She goes, she casts that burden upon God. She gets up, she cleans herself off, she begins to eat. She's laid it all on God. Why? Because now I have hope. And she returned home. And within weeks, she conceived a son who became one of the greatest judges and prophets in all of Israel. Folks, there's hope in prayer. We go to John and Lauren's house. That's my daughter and son-in-law. And as soon as you walk through the front door, there's a room to the left. It's supposed to be a dining room, and it's not. It's a toy room. There's toys everywhere. Have you ever seen a child see a toy box and what they do to it? It's not open up the toy box, get one toy, and go play with it. No. We know what they do, don't we? They run over that toy box, and man, it's pull out this toy, it's pull out that toy, it's pull out. They get in the toy box. and they throw out every toy that's in there. They want to see every blessing that's in the box, don't they? My son somehow became a duck hunter. I don't know how that happened. But he's a duck hunter. And it doesn't matter where he is. If he's driving down the highway, Gander Mountain is there. Guess where Michael Eskew's going? He's going to Gander Mountain. I'm going to go in that store and I'm going to check it out and I'm going to see what's there. And he does. And he can stay for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours in the hunting section. There's more sections than that, Michael. Women. Not long ago, Kathleen and I went to a Goodwill. We're just looking for a couple of t-shirts. She's the only one I know who can spend 2 hours in a Goodwill. And I'm over there dying on a vine. And she says, I know, we got to go. But I could stay in here another couple of hours at a Goodwill. Women can do that stuff. It's look at every piece of clothing that's there. Go to a shoe store. Guess what? Women go crazy over shoes at a shoe store, don't they? Folks, the point is this. We have these toy boxes. We have these sports goods stores. We have these clothing stores and shoe stores. And guess what? We go there and we know it's just filled with blessings. And we just run in and we want all the blessings that are there. I've got a store for you that's filled with greater blessings than toys and hunting supplies and shoes. It's the storehouse of heaven, folks. And you would think that every one of us would be eagerly running into our closets to pray and receive all the treasures that are there for us when it comes to prayer. What was it that Jesus said? Ask. And it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Wow. Simply put, prayer is speaking to God. But, guys, isn't it much more than that? It's a lot more than that. Prayer, as we've seen, is a step into heaven, isn't it? It is the privilege of the child of God to talk to the Heavenly Father. It is our opportunity to enter into the presence of God and praise Him and thank Him and make requests of Him. It is that place to which we go and we wrestle with the Almighty God until we receive the things that we so desire. Prayer is that place of release, where we can cast all our burdens upon God. And prayer is that treasure chest, that place of blessing that God has given to us as His children. Folks, those are just a few definitions of prayer. And if we understand them, if we appreciate them, shouldn't those kind of things cause us to pray more? In fact, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, pray, doesn't it? And it also says, pray boldly. It says, pray in faith. It says, pray without ceasing. And it says, pray at all times. Folks, we have reason, great reason, to pray to the Father, which is in heaven, don't we? I hope that all of us will develop our prayer life. Folks, one of the wonderful things that we have in prayer is the ability to go to God when we've sinned and to ask Him for forgiveness, don't we? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, Simon Peter had sinned against God. And what was it that Peter said in Acts chapter 8, verse 22? Repent and pray God that if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. I'm His child. I've sinned. I violated His will, and yet there's still a place where I can go to be forgiven of my transgression. It's the throne of God. And the same blood that cleansed me in baptism can cleanse me at this very moment when I ask for forgiveness, having repented of sin. Maybe you're not a child of God and you need to be tonight. You want the privilege of prayer. In order to get that, you have to yield to Him. And the steps are simple. Hear the Word. Believe in the Christ. Repent of sins. Make the good confession like Emily made this morning. And then be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. I'm always amazed at baptism. Baptism takes about 5 seconds. Emily thought she was going to drown this morning. I'm just kidding. But it doesn't take long to take a person down and bring that individual up. And yet, folks, there's so much that goes on in that process, isn't there? The blood of Jesus cleanses a man of all sin. And upon His being risen, the Lord takes him out of the world and places him into the one true church, the church for which Jesus died. Do you need to do that tonight? If you need to respond to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing.